You're listening to a sermon by Heidi Epp, recorded on Sunday, June 28, 2026, at Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Good morning. Thank you for being brave enough or curious enough to attend this morning and invite me back. I'm not professionally a preacher, but I am a teacher. So I'm going to invite you to a place of curiosity and courage. This morning, what we're speaking about, or what we'll be I'm sharing with you, and hopefully together we will explore and share, is my life as a living canvas, a gift of God. To recognize that each one of us are really a living piece of art made in the reflection of our Creator and with our Creator's DNA embedded in us to be creative and to be in relationship. But what does that mean? That's something I've been asking myself a lot in the context of our global situation. It's complex, it's intense, and overwhelming. And so this is actually, you're getting a very condensed version of a workshop that I've done in numerous ways, adjusting it for different groups. So you have the paper there, sort of the layout of this, and there's extra pastels. So if you want to doodle, it's okay. You can doodle, doodle with your pen or pencil that you have. But if you want some color, please come and help yourself to some pastels. So there are five stages to this. I will, yes, there's more stages, but hopefully I'll be more condensed about each one. So you hopefully I'm going to just plant the seeds and you'll be able to take away and work more with it on your own or in your own conversations as you ponder. I also want to say that in the third and fourth stage, we talk about the invited guests and the uninvited guests that are part of our lives. And I just want to say there's so many of you in this room and on Zoom who have been invited guests in my life and uninvited, but absolute delight blessings when they're there. And I treasure how you have contributed and collaborated with me in many moments of my canvas of life. So I'm delighted to share this with you. So this is going to be a creative exploration of how our lives, a living work of art, is brought to life with creative and loving eye and spirit of God. We'll explore who we are, each in our own eyes and in the eyes of others and the eyes of God, and see how that shapes the way we interact and engage in our relationships, both personally and as community, as the body of Christ. And how can we do this mindfully? With ourselves, with God, and globally, both individually and also as a collective body. So mostly I'm going to be asking questions, and some people are going to get to doodle. Thank you, Andre, for having the courage to be one of the artists. And I'm going to ask if someone might want to take a risk and be, it'll be really helpful if there's a second artist at the time. Now, artist does not mean you need to be a great artist. My grandfather was a great artist. I did not inherit that. I'm stick people at best, but I could do this. This isn't about being right or having a skill or drawing anything like that. If you will just trust me with the process, if you're willing to be a little bit adventuresome, Andre, if you could come forward. Is there anyone else who would like to try the second one? So the format will be, we'll read the scripture. I'll give just a brief instruction, and then we'll sing the hymn attached to it. We've kind of done this a little bit out of order, and I will ask, and I'll just make a brief, some comments at the end of it. So the first one that we where we start, where we heard our Genesis and Psalm scripture is, "Who are you?" So you get to start drawing who you are, whether that's a color, an image, whatever. There's no rules to it. So however you're inspired to move, you're going to start drawing who you are. And maybe think about, and anyone can do that in their own papers, think about what you think some of your strongest traits or characteristics are, or how might your friends describe you? How would your family describe you? And what maybe is one of the most important things about you that you would want others to understand or see? And maybe let that guide you in your drawing. And then I'm going to ask Zachary to come back because we're going to, as you do that, I intended to sing. So we're going to sing again the first, third, and seventh voice, verse of All Creatures of Our God and King as you get to draw. So how we learn to see ourselves shapes the way we interact with the world from a young age. We're born into a family. We have no choice. We're there and we're a blank canvas. And we start to grow and learn. And by the environment we're in, we're given clues as to who we believe we are. And that can be very wonderful and positive. But for others, it can also be very traumatic. And our sense of self can become disrupted and distorted. And that too can influence the way we engage the other artists of the world. So when we experience trauma and it shapes us, it shapes our relationships. Learning to understand how we've been shaped from whichever context and a combination of contexts. If we understand that, we open up a way to connect with our real original God-created self and be perhaps more loving and dynamic in our relationship with God, but also with ourselves and each other. So spending some time reflecting on who we are and how we've come to be who we are can help us be more dynamic in our expressive living. It also helps us to understand those that are around us, especially when they're different. When there's so much diversity and so much conflict and so much polarization in the world, by taking some time to reflect how we got there, we might be able to see the God DNA in others that it isn't necessarily easy for us to see. So the next stage, if you think, so you have time in this one, ponder some of those and some questions you might have for yourself or some significant influences in your own self-discovery that shapes you. The next one, who's reading Psalm 139 and John 14? Do we have someone reading them? And so now we're going to move to where is God in our life? How does who we are connect with who God is? Is God somewhere else far on the page, or is God very close to where and who you are? Are they interconnected? So if we can hear those scriptures. So artists, if you could come forward, and we're going to sing number 49, All Who Are Thirsty. And so some of the questions as we sing this and as you draw would be, where is God in your canvas of life? How does God interact and how do you interact with God? How close do you feel to God and what aspects? There are layers in our relationships. I know for myself, as a growing up, my connection to God was much stronger than Jesus. Jesus was more human, not part of the Trinity. And then as I came into my adult life, the Trinity started to take more shape and that relationship started to grow. And then the Holy Spirit became another layer just as we have in our human relationships, where there's different dimensions to our relationships. So if you think about those layers, and which parts do we keep from God? What parts of ourselves do we hide or keep at a distance? And for what reason? So if you think of some of those things, and we'll sing All Who Are Thirsty, number 49, and you guys get to add God to your paper, your art. So our identity is shaped from the families we're born into, the communities that they're part of. We learn to figure out who we are, and we are shaped. And for my own self, as I grew up and had to deal with different traumas, both from my childhood and young adult years, went into counseling. I remember unpacking this and saying, okay, frustrated because my therapist never made statements. She only ever asked questions. And on the drive home, I was at a pivotal spot and said, okay, God, so if these experiences have taught me that I am not innately lovable and my only hope is to earn love and probably can only get so far at best, how do I change that? I can't just flip a switch and say, okay, I'm now innately lovable and connect with that. So the only one I know is you. You are my creator. You need to tell me. You need to show me. And I almost had a car accident because I heard a voice in the car, as if those sitting right beside me, say very clearly, okay, Heidi, I will. But will you believe me? And I knew that I would have to make a choice, whether I felt that way or not. I needed to make that choice every day to wake up and say, I believe I am lovable because my creator said so, and I don't need to earn it. And I can be. That has become much easier. It doesn't stay in one place all along, but was part of the journey that I was on in finding how God actually connected into my canvas and into my living art, and how could I exhale that to the people around me and to the children in my life, my students, wherever I was. So I leave that with you. Where does God fit with you? How does God speak with you? How does God interact with your canvas? How do you allow and invite God to interact with your canvas? And again, we are not the only ones who paint on there. We have people who are invited guests that we open ourselves to, and there we have some choice. So the two of you have a choice. And you get to look around and invite someone to come and contribute onto your piece of art. They thought they'd get away scot-free, but they didn't know. Because that's the truth of your life. You are creating and adding to the canvases of the lives around you all the time, both as a congregation, the people you work with, your friends and family. Now, as you do this, both reflect. How do you make that choice? What are you looking for when you invite someone onto that canvas? Do you look for trust? Do you look for someone that goes, oh, I know they have a talent for this. I'd like to see what they do with it. Or are you hope, I hope they will disturb as little of this as possible. Or, yeah. So just think about for a moment how you're going to make that choice. And go and invite someone to come. You have control over this. You might not always have control, but this one you have control over. So you get to go and invite someone onto your canvas. All right, so we're going to sing number 778, verses 1, 2, and 3. Let me be your servant. Will you let me be your servant? So the invited guests in your life, the people that you've chosen intentionally to collaborate with, if you think about how you chose them, what did you hope that they would bring to the canvas of your life? Is it what you hope for? Would you change it? And how do you feel moving forward once you've collaborated with someone or invited someone? How do you feel when you are invited? And how do you look at their lives when someone invites you into their life? Do you look at it and go, oh man, this could really use some color? Or do you go, what can I do to almost be invisible in this piece of art so that I don't disturb or do any damage? Or how can I contribute? How can I enhance what's already there? Do you take time to look and understand what is there already, or just jump in and think, I need to shift this or change this? And one isn't right necessarily over the other. How we do it isn't the same all the time, because we are living canvases. We're shifting, we're changing, our needs shift and change. But can we be mindful about that? Even in our congregations, as we redefine who we are as a community or what the community is being called to do, how do we do that collectively? And as a conference, how do we do that when we are invited into each other's lives and invited by God towards certain programs or directions or engagements with the world? Do we do that mindfully? How do we process what's needed, what we can contribute? It's not one or the other. But there's the invited guest. Then there's the uninvited guest. The people that come into our lives that you didn't ask for, they're just there. And that can be joining a new church, they're new people, so it's sort of an indirect invite. It can be someone on the side of the street. It could be anywhere. I remember one day walking through the mall, and I think it was near Christmas time. I don't even remember what was going on in my life, but this woman walks by, and the only way I can describe her is kind of like olive oil from Popeye and olive oil. She's very, very tall, very lean beanstalk. Elderly, white, thick, straight hair to here, very big, thick glasses, and the olive oil shoes. I remember the shoes on her feet. She walks by me and she says, "You have beautiful legs," and keeps going. And I'm just, huh? And I now wish I would have turned around and asked her out for lunch. But I'll never forget that uninvited guest, and the image is burnt in my. If I were an artist, I would do a portrait of her because she deserves that. She stuck with me, and so we have those uninvited guests that cross their path. You may be that uninvited guest that crossed the path, and you don't know the impact you've left on that person's life forever. And so God invites us into that journey to be these uninvited guests, to take the risk and not to be fearful. I think it's Sven, maybe you said this in a sermon once. How many times "do not be afraid" is said in scripture? That we're so fearful of being these creative beings that God has called us into. It's our inherent nature as people. The first thing we do, even if we solve a problem and design a tool, we design a fork because we need to eat. And the next thing we do is try to make that fork beautiful. That is God's DNA on us, nobody else. The bird builds a nest and it's beautiful, no doubt about it. It's beautiful creation. But they never work to enhance its beauty. It's pure function. It's beautiful function, but it's pure function. But we can't design or build anything without then going, and how do we make this beautiful? Not even the cover of a hymnal. We choose purple. We choose color. We choose, like, it's just innate in us. So how was the uninvited guests, which are now going to terrorize you even more? Where did that hat go? So now you get to pick a name out of the hat. And they are the uninvited guests. Okay. Zach. So Zach, you get to draw and you get to pick one, Andre. Evan, can you be the uninvited guest? All right. And Zach. And we have our scripture. Luke 10, I believe. So if you take a moment just to think about where you might be the uninvited guest. Who saw the man as the child of God rather than all the semantics that, whether cultural or racial or any of those things would preempt, but who just saw the child of God and responded? And how can we do that? How can we be those guests in the world, in our communities, but in the world? And how can we do that collectively in a loving way? And do you ever think back to where you've been the uninvited guest and think back to what was left behind? Or if you missed an opportunity. I often talk with my students about buses of opportunity that come by and how often we're afraid to get on them. But we need to discern also. You don't just get on every single one, but discern which are the ones. So here, as the uninvited guest, where have you been blessed and surprised by one? And where have you been the participant? And if you had an opportunity and didn't, what held you back? What kept you from taking that leap? So now we get to the black mark. This is a very unpleasant part of it for me. I'll tell you about that after. We all have black marks that come into our lives that are difficult, and whether they're traumatic, sometimes we do them ourselves. And sometimes it's others who come and put the black mark on our canvas. And one of the reasons I use oil pastels is because you can't erase them, just like we can't erase the black marks in our lives. So we all experience them. But what can we do with them? How does God invite us and journey with us in dealing with those black marks? I was working with a group of youth, and this one youth had covered his entire art with oil. There was no paper left. It was completely full. And so the first thing he did was write, "Heidi did this." And I'm like, "You're right." It's one of the first things we need to do is like identify and name it and need to address it. The next thing he figured out is that the oil pastels were so thick he could take a knife and scrape it off. There's no rules. And, you know, they'll often ask about rules. I'm like, no, do what you do. And sometimes we're able to do that. There's many, many different ways. When I was working in the Congo and doing a peace and conflict transformation workshop, and I used this in a far more extensive way, it's the only place this has ever happened whenever I've done any of these workshops. The only place, one guy just took his part flipped it over, went to the other side. Why has no North American ever considered that? So every time I always learn something, I always learn something. Never considered that there was another possibility by flipping the page, starting over. It kind of defeated the purpose, but at the same time, brought out a good point. So I'm going to invite our artists back up to deal with their black marks. And let's see what your creativity brings to your canvas and how you deal with that. And we're going to sing Tears of Suffering, number 694. And as we do that, let's think about how do we respond to a world that is full of black marks. It seems like they're in my face every day, no matter where I turn. So how do we, as invited guests, as uninvited guests, and from my own being, speak into the black marks? I'd like to invite our artists forward. And if you can bring the mic, and if you can just give us a brief synopsis of your work, your canvas as it is in process, and the different stages, and in particular that your guests and the black mark. So how did you deal with your black mark? Interesting.
Just put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. So sometimes we try to erase them and minimize them. Sometimes we can take them and actually extend them into something else and transform them. And again, there's not one right way. There's many different ways. But if we look at how God transforms and leads us or asks us for transformation and how we can be part of that transformation in the other canvases that are around us. It's good to think of that. So I am at the conclusion, and I invite your response. Thank you so much, artists, for having the courage and willingness to step forward in perhaps an uncomfortable situation for you.